Last week, we launched a brand new message series entitled God Does. And one of my best friends, Michael Pelkey, was here to start that series with God Saves. He did a fantastic job, incredible testimonies within that message. Today, I get the privilege of sharing with you God Does Heal. God does heal. I want to allow the Bible to paint the picture for you of the reality of God's healing power. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything that she had and she was not helped at all. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. She spent everything she had and she was not helped at all. Now watch this. On the contrary, she actually became worse. And having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his clothing and she said, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be made well. Now there's some translations that say there that she desired to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Instantly, her flow of blood ceased and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Lord, you see this crowd, all these people, how could you ask who touched me? Everybody's touching you. But he was looking around to see who had done it. You get the picture. Somebody touched him differently, authentically, with faith. And the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And daughter, Jesus said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. I want you to think about it. 12 years. That's at least 4,380 days. She woke up with the same issue, the same illness, the same condition. And it wasn't getting better, it was getting worse. She sought the help of doctors, of counsel. Her bank account was drained and nothing worked. And I would venture to say that some of you can in some way relate. That you have been battling the same issue for years. Some of you would even go so far as to say that you have tried everything. Maybe it was doctors, lawyers, specialists, counselors, rehabilitation centers. Some of you might even would say that your bank account is also drained. And you might go so far as to say nothing has worked. And it might even feel like that things are just getting worse and worse. Whatever the case, we cannot overlook the fact that the Bible says that this woman had literally spent everything she had trying to find a solution. And yet she still had 12 years of shame, 12 years of silence, 12 years of being shoved aside. And here's the big issue. She wasn't just sick. She was stigmatized. She had not just lost her health. She had lost her home. In understanding the Jewish traditions and culture of the day in which that Jesus walked the earth, there was a religious hierarchy in place that was of the opinion that if you had an open wound or you had a blood issue that could not be resolved, then you were not only physically unclean, you were considered spiritually unclean. So therefore, you had to be isolated from your family, isolated from your friends. You were not able to pursue any kind of a career path. You couldn't go into even a public marketplace. And typically, you would be colonized with people who shared the same or a similar issue. This woman has not only lost her health, she's lost her home. But the Bible says one day she heard about Jesus. Verse 27 literally says it. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his clothing. That's a significant phraseology because the New Testament makes clear that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There was something regarding hearing about Jesus that awakened faith inside of her. It's why it's so important that we as a church prioritize Jesus. It's the reason that you hear us say that it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It'll always be about Jesus, because hearing about Jesus awakens faith for the supernatural to invade the natural. Without that, all we could have at best would be a concert venue that offers a motivational speech that happens to have a God slant. And that's not going to change anybody's life beyond a temporary experience. But if you want to have a true encounter, someone needs to hear about Jesus. And what happens with this woman is when she hears about Jesus, her fragile state turns fierce. You got to think for a moment. She has been sick for 12 years. There's no modern medicine. There are no prescriptions that are assisting her. She's getting worse and worse. It means she's losing weight. It means she's becoming increasingly frail. It means that her bone structure is becoming increasingly fragile. And now, to even encounter Jesus, we are told that there is this huge crowd of people that is around him, this press of people that she is legally not allowed to even interact with. But once she heard about Jesus and faith started stirring, the fragility turned fierce. You ever had that moment where something just woke up on the inside of you and you kind of got tired of playing games with the devil? And you kind of reached that point where you didn't care what somebody thought or what somebody said or what they were going to accuse you of next. You just realized, like, today's the day I'm about to go get mine from God. Something happens in this woman. She turns fierce. I couldn't help but to think about the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. Have you ever contemplated that hope could be a substance? A lot of you have abused a substance. It's time to use a substance. Let hope begin to stir something of strength on the inside of you. Once she began to believe, she realized God does save. She realized God does heal. And that's my hope for you and me today, is that we're going to be stirred in our faith to explore the reality that God does heal. Now, as we begin to unpack that, there's some things I want you to understand under the categorization of God does heal. This is the first. God does see our pain. Now, that sounds almost elementary, but there's truth there. And it's an important truth, because there's a lot of us that feel as though we are overlooked regarding our pain. There are those of you that, if you were honest, you would think, well, God would see their pain before he would see my pain. Well, God has seen their pain more than he has acknowledged my pain. But watch what happens in Mark 5:32. And Jesus looked around to see who had touched him. You have to understand, all of these people are around him. Out of everyone that he could possibly engage, she is the least likely. And yet, she is the one that he specifically mentions that he sees. Now, here's the point. When we read that text, you may have noticed, this woman is given no name, just a condition. Here's the point. Society did not recognize her by her name. It recognized her by her need. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a season of your life where people fixated on your need more than your name? Where they were more concerned about your issue than your actual identity? You know, when you were going through that divorce, and every time they saw you, it was the need more than the name. When you battled the addiction, when you went through the sickness, when you had that season of great grief, when you made that really big mistake, there's something about society that has this tendency to define us by need rather than by name. But what I want you to recognize is that within a sea of people, Jesus dropped everything to see one person. And when he began to interact with her, he was not focused on the condition or the need as much as he was the person. And what you begin to recognize is that he looked past her shame in order to see her soul. And it points out to you and me that we can be overlooked by everyone else and still be the focus of Jesus. Yeah. She was exiled. She was cast out. And yet here Jesus is choosing to lock eyes with her. Have you ever contemplated that when everyone else looks past you, Jesus will literally lock eyes with you and just let you know, I see you? Some of you don't even recognize that. That is when you begin to sense something beyond just sitting in a worship gathering. You sense the nearness of God. That is God locking eyes with you. And as Charles Swindoll might say, it's God letting you know that he does not waste an ounce of your pain or a drop of your tears. In fact, you could go so far as to imply that this woman was hidden by her pain until she was highlighted by grace. Like, there's this element of she's been told, you can't come into a public forum. You can't come to the family reunion. You can't hang out at the house anymore. You can't keep your job. You don't get to have a career path, all because of this thing you're trying to fix, but you can't. You ever been there? You tried everything and you couldn't fix it? And yet that became the reasoning for which they now decide they're going to isolate you so they can annihilate you? And now she has this moment with Jesus where suddenly it's like he puts a spotlight on her. And you begin to recognize that her desperation didn't disqualify her. It actually drew her nearer to Jesus. Desperation is a positive thing at times. There's one thing about somebody who's desperate. They don't care who hears them. Do you understand that the level of your desperation will determine the volume of your cry? And the reason some of us have no intensity in our worship is because we're not desperate yet. We're not yet in a crisis. We're not yet in a circumstance. But here's the thing. This woman had an issue of blood. And if you and I are honest, all of us have got an issue. Yours might be physical. Mine might be emotional. Someone else's might be spiritual. And if we're true to ourselves, then probably we're dealing with all three in some capacity. And if you want to act like that ain't the truth, let's just sit down with your spouse for a few minutes and see what we find out. What would your teammates have to say? What would your coach have to say? What would your dorm room folks have to say? I bet we could find some issues. And here's the thing. You and I are sitting around people every day that are bleeding on the inside. And even if you are blessed enough to not presently be bleeding in a substantial way, you know someone who is. And you need to recognize that God sees them and he also sees you. And if you've ever felt invisible, if you've ever felt rejected, if you've ever felt misunderstood, then what can you do to actually recognize that God sees your pain? Well, the first thing I'd say to you is stop avoiding the press. Stop allowing the enemy to isolate you from engagement. And when you're in that place to where you're no longer intimidated by the enemy of the issues that you've been dealing with, start telling God the truth in prayer about what's going on in your life. And your prayer might need to start this way. Jesus, here's where I'm bleeding. And when you let that out in that moment with God, trust that Jesus is not going to be repelled away from you. He is going to be moved towards you. And some of us have been in those moments where we finally started feeling vulnerable and we're like, okay, I'm going to tell somebody. And then you told them and you just instantly felt them start backing up. Like, oh, I didn't know you had all that going on now. Now, I was good talking about this, but I don't really want to discuss that. Well, I don't know that I'm really comfortable knowing those things. And yet when you get honest with Jesus, it's like the more authentic you become in your honesty and in your confession, the more he just moves in. He says, who is it that needs to be acknowledged in their condition so that I can release my compassion? Here's a question to come within this vein of God seeing our pain that you and I have to ask is, where in your life have you assumed God isn't paying attention? Like, where is it? That issue, it keeps getting worse. It's not getting better. You've tried this, you've tried that. And now the enemy has just kind of convinced you, God isn't even paying attention to this thing. What I've discovered is that sometimes we classify God's interest level according to our experiences with other people's behavior towards us. So let me give you an example. I'll just be transparent with you for a moment. Many of you have heard me tell parts of this story. Some of you have heard the entire story. Several years ago, I went through a sickness in my body. I began to battle something with an autoimmune disorder. It affected my digestive tract, and I wound up literally losing 90 pounds. I went to specialists east of the Mississippi River and west of the Mississippi River. It resulted in extreme pain and extended times of recovery. There was one point where I was actually in the bed for 7 weeks. My insurance was canceled in the middle of it because they said I couldn't prove my United States citizenship. And all of a sudden, I'm in financial challenges as a result of these massive bills. I was battling. I had an issue. And one of my, I'm a stickler for, if I schedule something, I do my best to keep the schedule. And I might be late, but I'm on my way. And on this particular day, I was having battles in my body and it just was not cooperating. And I'm supposed to be meeting with a friend. He knew my story. He knew everything I'd been through. And I said, hey man, I'm just letting you know I'm gonna be late. And he replies to me, hurry up and get here and I'll give you a tissue for your issue. And it hurt. And I know y'all are too spiritual to get offended, but I did. And I'm like, man, you know what I've battled. You know what I've been through. And you don't even have grace towards me in this situation. Or I could talk to you about how at that time in my life, I was doing everything in within me to try to grow a church and to try to win as many souls as we possibly could. And at that point, we probably had about 600 people in our church. And to us at that time, we felt like that was a lot. And then I'm in the bed for 7 weeks and I'm not able to preach. I'm not able to manage my pulpit duties. And we lost over 300 people in regular attendance. And I remember thinking like, I killed myself trying to. And so then you start to feel neglected and overlooked and like nobody cares. And the next thing you know, you start thinking, well, God must view this situation the same way everyone else does. And that's the reason I'm asking somebody this question this morning. Where in your life have you assumed that God isn't paying attention just because no one else is? We got to get through this thing because you need to experience the second step of God does heal, and that is God does release his power. God does see your pain. And God does have the capacity to release his power. Look at this verse 29 of Mark 5. Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. 12 years, over 4,000 days, but one act of faith became the intersection between human weakness and divine strength. One moment with God did what 12 years of medicine couldn't do. Corrie ten Boom famously said, there is nothing too great for God's power and there is nothing too small for his love. And somebody needs to recognize that reality today, because for this woman, we recognize her bleeding stopped where her believing started. And so for you and me, for years, maybe the problem has persisted, but do you recognize that in one moment God's power can prevail? You don't need permission, you just need persistence. With this woman, her faith was risky, but she realized, man, God's power was ready. I love the fact that the Bible points out that she literally came to Jesus trembling, but she left transformed. Some of you tremble in your situation. How am I going to manage all of this? How am I going to fix all this? How am I going to resolve all these issues? She's trembling, but she's transformed. Why? Because she came to realize God's power flows where faith presses. And if you can get your faith to press, the miracle that happens in a moment can reshape a lifetime. There is no place recorded in this passage where that she ever prayed a polished prayer. All the Bible says is that she reached. Now, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me, because I'm a hillbilly from the backwoods of Creelsboro, Kentucky. And if this thing is based upon putting together some polished articulation, I'm probably going to fail. But if you tell me I just need to reach, If you tell me, I just need to reach. Somebody forgot what John 4 said when it quoted Jesus, and he said this, "The Father seeketh such to worship him, those that will worship me in spirit and in truth." It's a Sunday morning. People are gathered all over the globe by the millions to go through the experiences of worship. But for some, it's a formality to check a religious box, and they're going to raise their hand because some worship leader told them to, and they're going to bow their head in prayer because some preacher said it would be a good idea. But then there's this other crop, and they're the bunch that are desperate, and they understand I didn't get dressed up for nothing, and I came to reach. You tried to pray and you felt like your prayers weren't getting above the ceiling, but you're reaching, and you tried to study scripture and you couldn't get sense out of it, but you're reaching, and you tried to fast and you didn't make it past two meals, but you're reaching, and it took everything you had to get your family to the house of God this morning, but look at you, you're reaching. And I came to tell somebody, keep reaching. Like, you may not feel strong today. You may feel like you're crawling spiritually, but press through the crowd. Press through the fear. Press through the shame. Press through the doubt and reach. Reach. And what you'll discover is that God will meet you with power. The reason some of us have never experienced the release of power is because we've never reached. Too much pride. Too full of ourselves. We're not desperate enough yet. This woman did it publicly, and she risked everything. She didn't care anymore what they say or what they think. She knew I got an issue, and only God can fix it. Every day that I wake up, this thing is getting worse. But if I can reach God, God does heal. I don't know. I just think somebody needs to reach again. Maybe stop waiting until you feel like you're full of faith and just reach again. Like don't ignore that the healing took place in the press. And you can just be another number in a church building today, or you can reach. The choice is yours. What area of your life needs additional acts of faith? Persistent reaching toward heaven. What area? Like, where have you just kind of felt like this is just always going to be an issue? My daddy had this issue. My mama had this issue. I've always had this. No. That is a lie from hell. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy, but God has come to give you life and life more abundantly. And the scriptural precedent is if God can get one person in, he can bless a family up to three generations. It's not too late to reverse the curse over your family in Jesus' name. I don't know. I came to tell somebody, reach again. Because God does see your pain. God does release his power. And I would also say to you that God does declare our peace. It's in this passage. Did you catch it? It's verse 34. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus gave her a title she hadn't heard in years. Daughter. Did you remember that she not only lost her health, she lost her home? And here's the thing, even with further Jewish insight of the culture of Jesus' day, to say someone was your daughter, it wasn't just sweet, it was scandalous. And Jesus is now saying that this unclean woman is to be affirmed in front of everyone. But it's something more. When he said daughter, it's equated to she's mine. You cast her out. You left her out. You said she's not good enough. And Jesus said, she's mine. I don't know what they said about you, what the rumors are. Oh, because see, that's what we've not even talked about. This is an issue of blood. And theologically, there's a lot of elephants in the room of what may have actually caused this issue. And still, when she reached, Jesus said, I don't care what caused it. I don't care where it come from. She's mine. Jesus didn't just heal her body. He renamed her soul. She came in broken, but she left beloved. Max Lucado says it this way: God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. Now, aren't you glad to know that you may not be everything you want to be, but by the grace of God, you ain't what you used to be? That's the grace of God. Keep reaching. He's mine. She's mine. And what happens is that Jesus literally, verifiably takes her from shame to shalom. Now, shalom, if you're ever in Israel, they're not going to say hello. They're not going to say hi. They're going to say shalom. And the reason they say that is because it has great depth and meaning. And what it literally means is that God's peace would go with you. But they don't just see peace as like this momentary freedom from anxiety. They actually define it as that you would be at peace with God, that you would be at peace with yourself, that you would be at peace with others, and that you would be at peace in circumstance. And so when Jesus tells her to go in peace, it is believed that the theological equivalent is that he is telling her, go in shalom. She walked up in shame, and she left made whole. Isn't it something to contemplate that when God begins to get involved in your life, that he doesn't just heal you physically, but he can heal you personally, he can heal you powerfully, and he can heal you permanently? That she went to touch his hem and he decided to touch her heart? I almost brought a prayer shawl with me. What most likely would have happened in that day is that Jesus would have had an outer cloak over his body that would have been worn by rabbis, teachers, prophets, and undoubtedly Jesus had one of those on. And what would happen is towards the bottom of them, there are these strands that are tied with various knots. Each strand has a different meaning. One of them represents the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so there is a lot of commentary on this subject that believes that when this woman said she wanted to reach his clothing, that she actually wanted to reach the hem of his garment that would have represented the thread that says he is who he says he is. And if that be the case, then when she took hold of Jesus, it's one of the reasons that even though everybody else was brushing up against him, he felt something different with her interaction. And that's why you can be in a building full of people and one person get a touch, and tens of other people walk away saying, I didn't feel a thing. Because some of it is directly connected to the level of our openness towards an experience with God. And this woman, she didn't just come to go through the motions and the press. She had too much at stake. She came to reach. And so I think you could possibly feel defined by failure, or feel defined by trauma, or feel defined by your past. But when Jesus calls you daughter, when Jesus calls you son, that redefines everything. And when God gets involved, healing isn't just about feeling better. It's about becoming whole. And peace doesn't mean you'll never struggle again. It just means you'll never struggle alone. And so what you and I got to do is we have to let go of the label that the world has given us and hear the name that Jesus speaks over us. Stop living in panic and start living in peace. Can I get an amen from somebody? This is I just would say this. Maybe it's time to reach up with the faith-filled understanding that he's already reaching down. Reach up. You know, there's one Christian author, and she shares her story. She's a best-selling author many times over. And she talks about how God sees what others overlook, how God heals what others ignore, about how God restores what others would say is ruined. And now, even though she was sexually abused by her father more than 200 times, and it caused her to live with deep emotional trauma and shame and a sense of spiritual disqualification, she describes that time in her life as, I felt dirty, I felt used, I felt unworthy, I felt unlovable. I had no idea that God could heal emotional pain. She says, but through a process of reaching out to Jesus through prayer, through scripture, through spiritual mentoring, she said, I experienced deep inner healing. This is her final testimony. When I believed that God loved me unconditionally, that's when the bleeding stopped. That's when I felt the peace I had never known before. You need to understand that he loves you enough that if you will reach towards him, there is the opportunity to lock eyes with heaven and to know that the power of God can be released. And when that transpires, it doesn't just make you feel better. It comes with the declaration of peace. I'm going to ask them to play some music, and I would summarize this entire message with one bottom line statement, and it's this. You don't leave the same way you came when Jesus gets involved. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Can I get one more amen? Amen. Today we're going to speak Jesus as we reach. Going to do it different. I'm not bringing a ministry team down front. Sure, the Bible says if there's sick among you that they could be anointed with oil and be healed. Absolutely. There's a time and a place for that. We do that almost every Sunday. The Bible talks about we would lay hands on the sick and by faith they could recover. But I think today is about the stirring of hope. To take the human element out of it and to say, it's just me and God. And maybe even in a public setting, say, God, I got an issue and I need you to show up, show out, and show off as only you can do. God, I don't want to leave this moment like I came. There's some of you that you're so burdened because it's not just for you, it's for somebody you care about. It's for a child, it's for a grandchild, it's for a loved one, a friend. But others of you, it is actually you that's bleeding internally, spiritually. Your soul is deeply wounded. Please, fight through the press. Reach out and give God the opportunity to prove himself as God in your life. Can we agree together for that? I'm gonna ask you to stand. We're going to start to sing. And as we sing, if God moves on your heart, maybe you need salvation. Maybe you need rededication. Maybe you just need to be healed physically, emotionally, spiritually. This altar's open for you to just reach towards heaven. Come on, let's speak Jesus.